Well, this great solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, after going through the Easter season, after experiencing the Feast of Pentecost and the Holy Trinity, we're commemorating the presence, the continued sacramental presence of Jesus Christ in his body and blood in the world. Of course, it always reminds me of the first time I went to Mass and how fascinated I was with the dignity and reverence that was shown to it. I won't talk too much about that right now because I wrote my bulletin article on it, so you can read about it. But I'll talk some about what today's scriptures can tell us about the Eucharist and about what it all means and what we should take from it. First, we have this mysterious figure called Melchizedek, right? He is, he seems to kind of come out of nowhere. He's not given any genealogy. I mean, the ancient writers, it was usually very important to tell who's somebody's parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were. There's nothing like that with Melchizedek. He just comes out of nowhere, right? And he sees Abram, who is going to later be named Abraham, renamed by God, right? And he sees that Abram has been blessed by God and given a command by God, and he gives Abram an offering of bread and wine. Of course, we can see what bread and wine foreshadows, right? It foreshadows the Eucharist. And maybe it reminds us that, well, Abram, he was battling his enemies. He was trying to do God's will, but there were people opposing him, and he had to battle with them, and God gave him victory. And so maybe that reminds us that this life is a battle, this life is a struggle, and that the Lord, by his grace, provides us that food and that strength to go on and to do his will. Abram says, Melchizedek, blessing Abram, says, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand." Delivered your foes into your hand. The foes, the enemies that we should be thinking about are sin and death. Those are the main foes of this life, right? And when we receive the bread of heaven, we're receiving Jesus' power over sin and death, right? When we receive him with devotion and with penitence for our sins. And I'd like to first talk about the gospel and then St. Paul, because I think we see some parallels in the gospel, right? Jesus is speaking to the crowds. He's speaking and he's healing and he's teaching them. And then his apostles say, "Lord, your homily's going on a little too long. The people are getting tired. They're getting hungry. They need to find somewhere to stay and something to eat. Send them away." When somebody gives Jesus advice on how he should do his ministry and give Jesus suggestions that, "Oh, well, you're not quite doing it right, Jesus. Let me tell you what I think you should do." It usually doesn't go well for them. I mean, the apostles weren't terribly punished, but they were kind of put in their place, right? They said, "Well, all we have to feed them would be a couple of fish and what? Two fish and five loaves of bread," or the other way around, whichever it was. But I think the lesson that we can draw here is, don't worry about whether you think that what you have to offer can make any difference. Don't let it make you hesitate to give and to offer God whatever you can. The thought that says, well, I'm too small, I'm too weak, I don't have enough for my gift to make any difference. Well, place it into God's hands, place it into Jesus' hands, and he can multiply those gifts so that he satisfied the 5,000, and that's only counting the men. There were probably at least another 5,000 women and children, right? And so if you think that your gifts are too small to make a difference, Jesus can multiply those gifts in a way greater than we ever thought, because like St. Paul says, he received from the apostles themselves, well, he was one of the apostles, but he received from Peter and the rest of them the teaching of Jesus about what he said at the Last Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus came to earth so that we could share in his divinity, so that God could adopt us as his children, so that we could have Jesus' own life and grace and love running within our lives. And he gives us the Eucharist to strengthen that again when we receive him with faith and we receive him with penitence for our sins. And I think the Eucharist is a great sign that Jesus gave all he could give. There's nothing more that he could give, that he could do for us, than to offer his own body and blood on the cross, to offer his own life. And now he offers that very body and blood to us in the Eucharist. And so, let us give thanks for the great gift of the Eucharist. Maybe think about the signs of respect that we owe to Jesus in the Eucharist, because it is Jesus himself. Our reservation chapel is over there. I mean, it's appropriate to genuflect. And there are, there's a Eucharistic procession, a traditional Eucharistic procession for Corpus Christi, 11:30, starting from Lourdes Church. So maybe consider honoring Jesus in the Eucharist by going on procession, but most of all by receiving him with faith and in gratitude and with penitence. Amen.